a title I believe the Lord's given us, and we're calling this one today, Has God Ever Told You His Secrets and Blessings? Has God ever told you his secrets and blessings? No, I've not made a mistake with this title. And I believe today God wants to reveal from his side of things, his heart, what he likes and what blesses him from us. Because all too often it's one-way dialogue. It's from us to him, with all the trials and the tests and what we want and so on. But are we really sensitive to the Lord's heart? You see, one of the reasons for this is that Jesus said, I will come back to you. I will send the Comforter. And there is a reason for that, that he has sent his Spirit himself to us. And we need to really, really understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us. So we're going to look at an aspect today in the Word, which we're calling, Has God Ever Told You His Secrets and Blessings? And let's start with Psalm 25 and verse 14. 25 and verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Wow. You see, when God reveals himself, his covenant, he's revealing his blessings, his secrets. What he is doing is revealing an aspect of himself that is not shown to many people. So what are the real signs then of a friend? Well, we all have friends, hopefully, and some maybe are closer than others, but in friendship you share things that you don't share normally with everyday acquaintances. Because in friendship, it has its joys, its secrets, and also its sorrows. You see, somebody's told you a secret that they tell no one else. Maybe they've opened up to a traumatic experience in their life. Or maybe they had a drink problem or addicted to drugs. Or maybe they've opened up secretly that they had an affair with someone. Or maybe they've stolen something. Or they've lied. Or they've really betrayed someone. These are the sort of things that come out when you really trust someone. You feel relaxed, safe. You know that they won't talk about this to somebody else. This is what it means to have a friend, a true friend. You see, the real mark of intimacy is when you share secrets, joys, all those things that we experience in this life. So the question that I'm going to raise today to all of us, as I've raised it to myself, do you know his joys? Do you know what blesses him? Because if you do, then you are moving closely into relationship with him. And you are beginning to understand why the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, has come back and lives and dwells in your life. And we're going to start with this one, which Jesus calls us in John 15, 15. John 15 and verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And he says in verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So it means that it comes down to trust, obedience. It comes down to where we don't question. We are his friends. It means intimacy. It means that you're no longer a servant just working for someone, but you've now become a friend. You're now involved in a deeper relationship. You are learning secret things about that person. And this is what it's implying. This is what he's saying here. We can couple that with Psalm 123. Psalm 123 and verse 2. Psalm 123 and verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. So again, it's revealing relationship. It's revealing that God is drawing us into his presence. He's put out the royal scepter, which means that you now can approach his presence. And this is really the ultimate of our relationship. This is how the bride makes herself ready. This, in many ways, is the deeper life teaching that we have been teaching you for many, many years, that God has open the doorway through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, to go as far and as deep as you want. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. It's speaking about relationship. It's speaking about knowing his secrets, what blesses him. And when we begin to approach Almighty God, our Father, like that, your attitude, your thinking, everything begins to change. Your motives begin to change. You are finding that in relationship, you are interested in them also, which in our case is our Heavenly Father, Almighty God. You see, when we begin to be touched by the love of God, everything changes. We no longer strive. It deals with those religious mindsets. It stops us running away from God or sulking when we can't have our own way. Or maybe God has withheld that blessing for a season, for a reason. You're not questioning why. Why is this happening to me? I don't understand anymore. Those things start to just obliterate when you begin to learn his secrets, his blessings, what pleases him. Why? Because we've read it back to you in John 15, 15. He's now calling us friends. He's drawing us into intimacy, into fellowship. This is where the bride, the church, makes herself ready. It's like the marriage between man and woman. They become one flesh. And this is what he's revealing now as we make ourselves ready, because we know that the rapture is not far away. The coming of the Lord in the clouds is soon to come for his bride, so that she's caught away. You see, we're telling him our secrets, but we're never allowing him to tell us his. And that is the problem. And that's always what happens with immaturity, with children. Children cannot enter into an adult conversation because it's still about them. What they want, what they're telling their parents. Children aren't very good at listening to parents. They have to start to grow, to mature and grow up. And then you find as your children grow up into adulthood, your relationship, your communication has changed. And it's exactly the same with us, with God. He wants us to be in touch with his purposes, what he's doing, what he's thinking, what he wants to do. So the question is, are we so intimately united with him? And of course, this is where it comes in prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew 6:10, he says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He reveals it to us in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." How do we know what is to be done? How do we know his will? It comes by knowing his secrets, what blesses him. And this is why he has to start with us obeying him. But we begin to learn in time what that word really means, to obey him. It means that we are learning his secrets, what blesses him. And when you begin to understand that, you won't be any longer offended or find the word obedience a problem. But you see, God has to start somewhere. You see, we have to teach children to obey. That is what good and proper parents do. And we have principles in the Word of God, how we are to bring up our children. But in time, when children begin to come into adulthood, you then begin to see the fruit of what you have taught them. It takes on a different level. It's no longer you telling them to obey, because you have seen your teaching, your parenting over them. You now are beginning to see the fruit of your labors and your prayers for your children. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's taken on a different level. And then you find that your children will say things like, "Mom, Dad, thank you that you said no to me, that you gave me boundary lines." They'll come back and they'll thank you when they get older. Why? Because they have seen something deeper. They've seen what love is really all about. "Faithful are the wounds of a friend," Proverbs says. And this is why at times we admonish, we rebuke. I have to do it as your pastor. but I have to check in my heart and motives that it is always done out of the love of God, from the Word of God, and by the Spirit. And in time, as we continue to grow and mature, we begin to see the deeper meaning behind it, because we're learning the secrets and the blessings of God's heart that pleases Him. This is why a preacher, teacher, you will know if they are of God and called and anointed, because they always, always will point you to the Lord, never, ever to themselves. That is one of the main hallmarks of discerning in ministry. And so it's that we hear the secrets of God. And that's what He wants you to learn. He's saying to you, I have secrets, I have things that bless me, and I want you to know about it. And the only way we're going to know about it is when you start asking me. And you will know when you're beginning to change. You will know when you're beginning to grow up and become a son and daughter of God, because you're going to start asking Him. And it'll come. Mark my words. Stay with it. Keep coming. Keep hearing. Keep listening. And you will find that maturity is taking place spiritually in your heart. You see, so often it's the tiny things that bless. The tiny things that bless us, because they show His amazing intimacy with us. Maybe when we've lost something, or we've lost the car keys, or whatever it was. I lost my car keys not so long ago. I was looking around and I said, Father, you know where these keys are. You know where I put them or whatever. And it doesn't come immediately. You just leave it there, because you know your Father has heard and He's going to speak in that right time and way. And lo and behold, it, like an impression comes into the mind, you left it in that coat pocket, which you don't normally do. And lo and behold, you go to the coat, search in the pocket, and there it is. You see, they are just some of the amazing things of intimacy, of relationship. It isn't always flashing lightning from heaven. It's just the small things that can just touch you, because it's touching Him, you see. He knows every minute detail of our lives, that we can be so concentrated on Him in these areas. There's nothing that's left out with our walk with the Lord. He wants to be involved in absolutely everything. And He wants you to know that He is involved in absolutely everything. That unbroken fellowship 24/7 that Jesus walked with His Father. If He did it, we can do it as well. It's the same Spirit. The same Spirit from His Father that worked through Him, that raised Him from the dead, is the same Spirit working with us. No different. And you've got to believe that, expect that, hope that, live in that. This is why we live in the moment with God. We live today with Him. We're always in the moment with Him, walking in relationship, unbroken fellowship. Expect it, believe it, rely on it. It's what you're saved for. Few today teach this. We are so blessed, FGA. And this is why he's expecting much from us. Trust me. What does it say? Let's look at some scriptures. What does it say in Psalm 25? Psalm 25. Let's turn to that. You see, these scriptures are all there. 12 and 13. He himself shall dwell in prosperity. Sorry. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. There we are. That is speaking about relationship. This is why King David was pardoned with what he did. And God said he has a heart after me. What was it about that man, King David? He wanted to know the secrets and blessings of God. And it broke him when he sinned, because he said, I've done this unto you and you only. I am guilty. I was selfish. I thought nothing but myself. He saw his sin. And that is why God pardoned him. These are some of the secrets and blessings that bless Almighty God. When we see our sin, our weakness, we don't justify, we don't blame it on anything or anyone else. That is what blesses him. And that is what will pardon you and deliver you and heal you. Many are not getting healed because they're finding excuses. They're blaming something or someone else. And that's why very little happens or is happening even in your life. What does it say in Psalm 37, verse 23? 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. There we go. This all speaks about being centered on him and him alone. And that's why if we stay with this, we won't be always asking his will and why, because I thought of choosing another way. You won't think about choosing another way. It won't even occur to us. We're so yielded, we're so one with him, that our feet are ordered, our steps are led by the Holy Spirit. That's what he's bringing us into, that he's going to lead and guide us, and we're not going to keep questioning and asking why or whatever it is. That's what relationship is about. God should be guiding us by our everyday choices. And if we are about to choose what he doesn't want, he'll reveal by the Holy Spirit. That's how he'll show us. If it isn't for you, he'll make it clear. All he wants is you with that childlike faith to believe he's going to choose your inheritance. He's going to choose your path. He's going to place you where he wants you. Don't try and reason it out. I wonder why I should do this. Why is God requiring me to do this, I wonder? Don't do that, because God never, ever makes a mistake. We just know that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. They're so utterly different. That's why I say, don't try and bring your human logic and reasoning into the ways of God. You'll never fathom it out. It'll never make any sense. You see, God instructs us in our choices. And this is why we walk by faith daily. Because, of course, we're faced with daily things. There are things in this life that we have to walk in and through. We're facing every day walking by faith in a fallen world. But God has chosen that for a season because that is what throws us completely and utterly upon him. To trust him. I don't know how people can walk in this world without the Lord. I truly don't. I am so utterly dependent upon him. And the choices and things that people do in the world, it's frightening. And where it leads them and how it can go all so wrong. And they wonder why and become depressed and oppressed and so forth. That's not for us. God is getting us to walk by faith in a fallen world. And it's miraculous. I don't know how he does it, but he does. And that's why Abraham was called to walk by faith, the same as you are, because you are of the seed of Abraham. And that's why he's met with you in covenant, just like he did with Abraham. He always meets in covenant with those whom he's called from the foundation of the world. And a covenant is really about relationship. It's about you meeting face to face with Almighty God. Here it is, Genesis 17, verse 1. Genesis 17 and verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. There's the secrets of his heart. That is what is going to bless him. And Abraham, he had to be 99 years old to hear that. And as Sarah, Abraham walked with God, so God changed their name. A sign of maturity, relationship, sonship. And you are being changed from glory into glory as you walk with him. Growing up, maturing. And he changes us. And he appears to you and reveals himself. That's what covenant is about. And that's why we're under a new covenant, a better covenant, better promises, which is in the book of Hebrews. Everything is better now because Christ is revealing himself through the Holy Spirit to us. So what are the unlimited rewards of hearing his secrets, his joys, his blessings? As I bring this to a conclusion, here it is. We have to turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verses 20, 21. Revelation chapter 3, verses 20, 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He's saying that to the lukewarm Laodicean church. Much of the church of our age today, it's lukewarm. And God says, because you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. You think you're rich, but you're not. You're miserable. You are naked. You are blind. He's saying, I'm counseling you to buy from me, to have your eyes opened, that you may see, that in that seeing you are zealous in repenting. That is why a lot of the teaching over the years, yes, has been convicting. Yes, has it our name and address on it. It's because God wants us to be zealous in repenting. Because in repenting, you get your healing, your deliverance. That's where it comes. And most are offended by that. That's why they're lukewarm. But those who hear by the Spirit, who know what blesses the Father's heart in my being zealous, in repenting, in seeking him, waiting on him, so that he touches, he changes me into his likeness. He says to those who overcome, I will grant that you will sit with me in my throne. How could God say that to a lukewarm church? You see, God's ways are not our ways, are they? Look what he's offering, granting to this last generation that is fundamentally lukewarm. I've been lukewarm. I've admitted it before God. I'm not as on fire and as zealous as I should be. But God has a way of changing us. And it's as we seek him in a zealous manner with regard to repentance, deliverance. That's why I've always said the deeper life teaching is repentance, it's deliverance, it's changing us, healing us. That's why we've not always seen the outward healings yet, because he's still healing the heart, getting us in that place of faith to believe. Then the outward healings, they just automatically take place. And he begins to renew our youth like the eagles. He preserves, he keeps us, he strengthens us. You see, it always starts from the inner man first. So there we are. These are the ultimate rewards of hearing his secrets, that you will be with him in glory. And we see all of that. We see the throne in heaven that opens up in chapter 4, and all that is around his throne, that is seated around his throne. They are the ones who've known the secrets of the Lord, his heart, who've inquired of him. They're the ones who are the first fruits, who overcome. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Has God ever told you his secrets and blessings? There's much he wants to tell you. He wants you to hear. Let's make ourselves available. Let's consecrate that time and let him speak. Let him reveal the secrets and blessings that please him. Well, I trust you've been blessed by this and it's helped you and encouraged you. And I know I've been very, very blessed by preparing this and just waiting on the Lord. It just shows me how profound our Heavenly Father is. It's very, very humbling, I find this. I find that this just moves me, that my Father, Heavenly Father, wants me to know about him. I find I don't really have the words. And I didn't find this very easy to be able to put this over, but the Holy Spirit comes, doesn't he? And he gives you those words at that time. But there we are. Our Father in heaven, he loves us. What a great blessings we have. What a future we have in eternity. It's just mind-boggling. So let's seek him, his heart.